And let's go to our scripture reading here this morning. And we're going to go, actually, a place where we spent some time last week. And we were in the book of 2 Peter. Now, if you're not real familiar with your Bible, it will be at the end of your, towards the end of your Bible. The book of 2 Peter, if you get to Revelation, you've gone a little bit too far. 2 Peter, and I'm going to go to chapter 2. Read verses 1 through 3, and I have it up here on the screen. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning, please. And God's word says this. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray a blessing upon this message here today. I pray a blessing upon this scripture reading that we just read, that we can all learn a little bit more here this morning about this thing called false teachers in the church today. A lesson that we all need to learn, Lord. So open our hearts and our minds to the truths that you need to reveal. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today's message I have titled, Destructive Heresies. And today I want to pick up where we left off last week. Last Sunday I said this, that when the church fails to be the church, evil cannot be restrained within that society. And that is exactly what we have here in America today. And when the church fails to be the church, these are two things that I said last week. Number one, preachers and teachers fail to preach sound doctrine, which makes them false teachers. And number two, the people want their itching ears to be tickled with their own desires. When these two things happen, and they both happen at the same time, God starts removing his restraining grace and allows the people to go their own way. And that would be people certainly outside the church, but that would be people inside the church, people who call themselves church. And it's at this point, when we get to this point, the church looks no different than what the world looks. And it's amazing how these two groups of people find each other. The people want to hear what their sinful human condition craves. And the false teachers are more than happy to give the people exactly what they want to hear. The people get their ears tickled, and the teachers get their greed satisfied. And last week we said greed comes in three different forms: in the form of money, in the form of attention, and in the form of power and authority. Today, and in America and around the world, the church is failing its mission, folks, to be God's true representatives. But not all church is church. Last week I said, if I was to give my estimate of the percentage of people who are in a church on a Sunday morning, or whatever day they worship, that are actual, genuine believers, true Christians, those who have committed their lives to Christ, I would say at best 5% of those people are true believers. There's many people who are professors of the faith, who will give the lip service, who say, sure, I'm a Christian, but I honestly believe only about 5 of those are really possessors of the faith and really are genuine Christians. Today I want to talk specifically about several of these destructive heresies that these false teachers are propagating. What's a heresy? This was the slide I had up there last week. A heresy is an opinion or a doctrine which is contrary to church dogma. In other words, the Bible says one thing, and these people are interpreting the Bible differently. Why do they do that? So they can tickle the people's itching ears. This morning, I'm going to show you 6 different YouTube clips of 4 of America's leading televangelists. Each clip will propagate a different heresy. We will identify the heresy that they're propagating, and then I will show you biblically why their words that they are saying are heretical. I want to show you firsthand what the church, quote unquote, church looks like out there. I'm going to show you the first one here in a second. I tried to make the volume on all of these as even as possible. I hope you can hear what these people are saying. Some of these slides, I actually have put the words up there, what the person was saying, because the volume levels might have been a little low. But let's go to the first one, and then we'll talk about what this person has said. First on our chart, we will find Joyce Meyer. So Jesus was no longer the Son of God. Folks, if that's the case, we are in trouble. Jesus was no longer the Son of God. Folks, that is heresy. That is heresy. What does she think, or what was she going for when she said this? I'm going to take a stab at this. And I believe she was referring to 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says this: He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Folks, this is the doctrine of what we call imputation, or the doctrine of substitution. Jesus was our substitute, okay? God, as judge, assigned the responsibility of our sin to Christ, making it possible for him to be punished for that sin. Again, if Jesus ever quit being the Son of God, folks, we have no hope, none whatsoever. Let me give you an example of imputation, or the sin of, or excuse me, I should say, the doctrine of substitution. This is actually a true story. A friend of mine, I was 18 years old, and a friend of mine who was a few years younger than I, broke into a house in our neighborhood and stole all of their liquor. Okay? I come home from work, and he stands outside his house, and he says, Mike, come here, let me show you something. I walk into his house, and his whole dining room table is full of all of this liquor. His parents were away on vacation. He was there at the house by himself. He gave me some of this liquor. Actually, he gave me quite a bit of it. I got caught. I was charged with receiving stolen goods, along with a few other misdemeanors. But I didn't steal the liquor, but I had it on me. Jesus did not sin, but he bore the sin on him. Jesus was sinless. He always was sinless. He will remain sinless. If he ever becomes sinful, we are in trouble. So that's the sin of, excuse me, the doctrine of imputation. Jesus never ceased being the Son of God. Sorry, Joyce, that is heresy. Let's go to our second one. This one is a person you know. His name is Kenneth Copeland. Let's see what Kenneth Copeland has to say.
God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. I mean a reproduction of himself. And in the Garden of Eden, he did that. He was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God even. And Adam is as much like God as you can get. Just the same as Jesus, when he came into the earth, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't a lot like God. He's God manifested in the flesh. And I want you to know something. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh.
Adam was God manifested in the flesh in the garden. Sorry, Kenneth. Heresy. Heresy check. No, he wasn't. Let's see where I think Kenneth Copeland was trying to go with this. Genesis 1:27. God created man, how? In his own image, okay? In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Adam was not a god, he was not a little god, he was a human being, just like you and I. Adam was created in the image of God, not God manifested in the flesh. If Adam was God, Adam would have known he was God. And when the serpent tested them and tempted them in the garden, what did the serpent say to them? Would you like to be what? Just like God. Well, if Adam was just like God, then that would have never been a temptation now, wouldn't it? You know, we have a whole religious system out there called Mormonism. And Mormonism says this: as man is, God once was. As God is, man can become. It's pretty much the same heresy. They will teach you that you can become a god. And we discussed this years ago when we did a service and sermon series on Mormonism. Folks, we are just human beings. That is all we are. Are we made in the image of God? Yes, we are. We have attributes similar to what God has, but we are not gods. We are not God. Okay? It's very simple. So Kenneth, nope. Let's go back once again to Joyce Meyer, because this one kind of relates to the first one that she said. Let's hear what Joyce has to say.
Do you know something? The minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again.
Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. To be born again means one thing: that we were sinful at one point in time. And we weren't. We were, but Jesus was never sinful. It's getting back to the message that she preached before. Jesus was not born again. To say that Jesus had to be born again means that he, at some point in time, was not God. In this verse that we have up here, let me read the verse. This is probably where she's trying to pull this from. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he, meaning Jesus, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. This verse is telling us, folks, that as a result of Jesus being the first one to rise bodily from the grave, he has now total supremacy over all things. He was the firstborn from the dead. The resurrection paved the way that we could have eternal life also. Jesus was never born again because he never ceased being God. The resurrection. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. She is probably also using that verse. She is a scripture twister, and that is not right. The resurrection of Jesus is the promise that all who are in Christ will raise from the dead to have eternal life. So once again, Joyce Meyer is preaching heresy. Why do these word faith teachers, and they're all alike, all these word faith teachers, why do they insist on humanizing God? Answer, because they want to deify man. Okay? Let's bring God down a little bit so we can raise man up to the same level. Folks, there's no comparison between us and God. To give proof of that, let's go back to Kenneth Copeland and hear what he has to say in one of his messages. I have it written out there. This is very short. Folks, your eyes will be opened, I'm sure.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
Ooh. God says, I am. And Kenneth Copeland says, I am too. And he smiles while he says it. Folks, I don't think this heresy needs an explanation. Jesus claims, I am. In John chapter 8, 57 through 59, so the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Why were they picking up stones to throw at him? Because Jesus claimed to be the I am. But it was a rightful claim because he was and is the I am. Let's get back to our book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And what was God's response? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Folks, that phrase, I am, is reserved specifically and only for God and the Godhead. Not for Kenneth Copeland and all those other people who say that they are gods. Only God has that attribute. Which leads to our fifth video. Let's see. Anybody ever heard of Benny Hinn? Let's see what Benny Hinn has to say about all of this.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little God, went back to heaven as a man. He faced the Father as a man, I as devil as the Son of God. You see what I'm talking about? You say, Benny Hinn, am I a little God? You're a son of God, aren't you? You're a child of God, aren't you? You're a daughter of God, aren't you? What else are you? Quit your nonsense. What else are you? If you say I am, you're saying I'm a part of him, right? Is he God? Are you offspring? Are you his children? You can't be human.
And all the people clap. So Benny Hinn says that you are his offspring, and they all said yes. And he says, well, then you can't be human. Well, guess what? I'm looking at a whole lot of people in this sanctuary here this morning that I know are all saved by the grace of God. And if I'm not mistaken, all of you are human beings saved by the grace of God. So where is Benny Hinn getting this? It's where all the Word Faith preachers get it from. They get it from Psalm 82, verse 6. And it says this, I said, you are God's little g, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Now, if you just look at that, and you say, well, I think that's what that's saying. I think Benny Hinn might be right. But what are the three principles of correct Bible interpretation? Number one. Who knows what number one is? Context. Who knows what number two is? Context. Who knows what number three is? Context. You can't take one verse and take it out of context. You can't. So, what does this verse say? Well, let's see what verse 7 says. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler, verse number 7 says. So when it says up there, you are gods, that is the word Elohim. The word Elohim in Hebrew has two definitions. One, it can mean God. Also, it can mean a judge or a person who is in place of being a judge. So what he was referring to here were the judges and the people who were leaders of the Israelites back then. And that's why he says in verse 7, because their judgment was never accurate. You will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. I have it written up here. This passage is saying that God has appointed men to positions of authority in which they are considered as little g gods among the people. They are to remember that even though they are representing God in this world, they are mortal and must eventually give an account to God for how they use that authority. But when you're in the position when you want to become like God, why not tell people, hey, we are little gods. Folks, we are not little gods, okay? We are human beings who have been saved by the grace of God. And you know what? That is good enough for me. I don't need anything more. I don't need to be called a little God. I don't want to be called a little God. I do want to be called a child of God, which is what I am. But let's get back to what I said earlier. The temptation in the garden. Genesis 3, 4, and 5. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That is the desire of many, many people. They're not satisfied with where they're at. They want to be godlike. Adam and Eve wanted to be godlike. Mormons want to be godlike. Benny Hinn and all these other Word Faith preachers want to be godlike because it elevates them. It puts them into a position of power and authority and attention, and it really gets them the what? The money. Folks, follow the money, and you'll find your answers. Let's do a quick review of the first five heresies that we've covered. Jesus was no longer the Son of God. Heresy, Joyce Meyer. Adam was God in the flesh. Heresy, Kenneth Copeland. Jesus had to be born again. Heresy, Joyce Meyer. Kenneth Copeland claims I am. Heresy. And we are little gods, says Benny Hinn. Folks, these are all heresies. And if you believe these, guess what? You are not saved. These are heretical. They go against foundational principles of Christianity. And these people are propagating these things. And I got one more. I saved the best for last. Yes, guess who I saved for last? Go ahead, say it. Joel Osteen. Of course I did. Let's save the best for last. But do you see a common thread here in all this? Let's make God in our image. And let's make God exactly what we want God to be. And let's make humanity exactly what we want humanity to be. Folks, this is all idolatry. This is all heresy. And you want to know why God is upset with the church today? And that's my point. Take it away, Joel Osteen on the Larry King Show.
Phoenix, Arizona, hello.
Hello, Larry, you're the best. And thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with him. I believe that.
So that's what you is not going to happen.
No,
you care.
Well, here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart, you know. I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, you're not going, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be the God.
I believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
if somebody doesn't share it,
well,
it's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but I
press... atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth. And I say it every week, you know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
I'll try to keep this as low-key as possible. I am convinced that all of us in here are given golden opportunities to share the gospel at some point in our Christian walk. Some have more opportunity than others, and some opportunities are more golden than others. Larry King gave Joel Osteen a golden opportunity and several golden opportunities to proclaim the truth about the scriptures, but Joel Osteen repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly passed up the opportunity. Instead of standing up for the truth, he is a coward, and that man is not a Christian. Why? Because Joel Osteen refuses to preach on sin and preach on judgment. He says he believes the Bible, and he believes it with all his heart, but he refuses to stand up for it. What a hypocrite. Joel, let me remind you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. How simple is that? The lady that called in from Phoenix, Arizona knew that. Joel, why are you sidestepping Larry's question? And he kept on sidestepping. And he kept on sidestepping, and he kept on sidestepping. Because Joel Osteen represents Bible preachers who don't have backbones enough to stand up in front of their church or wherever they're standing up in front of and tell people that there's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And that's it. One way. Because I'm not making this up. Because Jesus said it. That's why I can say it with all confidence. So, review, let's just add Joel to the bottom of the list. Jesus, effectively, what Joel Osteen said is this. Jesus is not the only way. Because when you say, well, I don't know about atheists, or I don't know about Jews, well, then what you're saying is your way is really not a very good way then, Joel. So he's a heretic in exactly what he said. These four individuals, let me show you, I got a slide up here. How much of an impact do just these four individuals make? There they are. How many YouTube followers do these people have? Joyce, 169,000. Kenneth, 221,000. Benny, 225,000. And Joel Osteen, 1.48 million YouTube followers. And what's their net worth? Look at Kenneth Copeland. And he still wants your money, folks. And there's people out there gullible enough that they send these people their money because they want to buy a miracle. Because these are false teachers, and people with itching ears will listen to whoever they need to hear to get their ears tickled. If I just send this man or this woman my money, I will get my miracle. Look at the impact. And what does it say? What does it say in James 3:1? Oh, I like this verse. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Don't you think for one minute that I don't know that? That if I don't sit here or stand here and preach the word of God, that I'm going to incur a stricter judgment from God from what I say or not say? And that applies to all these other people who are in front of churches and out there being TV evangelists, that what they say, they're going to get a stricter judgment. Somewhere in my sanctified imagination, I have to believe that hell has a thermostat. And the further down you go, the hotter it goes. And these are the people that you're going to find right at the bottom where hell is its hottest. Amen? Amen. Amen. The Bible gives us a warning. I don't want to be in the position of leading unsuspecting individuals down a path of false teaching and heresy. And we wonder, why is God allowing this country to go our own way? Because I believe God has reached his breaking point. All four of these deny God and Jesus in some way. Joyce Meyer teaches Jesus ceased to be God. Kenneth Copeland claims equality with God. Benny Hens says that we are little gods. And Joel Osteen denies that Jesus is the only way to the Father. They fulfill exactly what Peter teaches in the scripture text. But false teachers will also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. We've covered that. Why? Even denying the master who bought them. None of these four people said who God really is and who Jesus really is and who human beings really are. They fulfill exactly what Peter says in the scripture text. So why is America a substitute society? I promise you, some of the reason is because those who are supposed to present the truth in righteousness are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. I'm going to end with the same verse I ended with last week. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I believe this verse speaks for itself. Well, next week, Beach Grove, today we looked at heresies. Next week, we're going to look at some extremes, and then I'm going to cut it off after that. Some extremes in false doctrines and some very religious and bizarre practices that are being propagated in the church today. Again, I'm going to be showing you about 6 YouTube clips of what some people call church. And I'll let you decide for yourself if you think what you see on the screen is what church should be. Folks, I am convinced that we do church right. I really am. But see, this doesn't satisfy people anymore. People want more, and they want more, and they want more. And next week, we're going to see what more is, because we'll see it. Next week, it's going to get a little bizarre on the screen. Come back. Let's pray.